Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
25-07, I believe the first reading, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Milton granting signing and authority to conduct business with Regions Bank.
Motion to put out an RFP for investment options.
Is that because you don't agree with the resolution, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Councilman Cusack?
I agree with Marilyn. Okay. 100%.
I would also like to see what other banks offer, not just go from one bank to the next. I would like to see what they all offer, if there's a way to do that.
All right. Now, I know probably we need a little bit of explanation, context here. What is going on? Why are Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack and Robert Leake talking about alternate investment strategies for the city of Milton? It all has to do with Truist Bank. Basically, and Curtis Krebs does a really good job of explaining this, but he's the CFO. Truist Bank was not willing to let the city of Milton create an account that would let them buy treasury bonds. And they were dragging their feet and not explaining themselves, and this became an issue, and that's what they were talking about at the Milton City Council meeting. Now, this is actually the meeting from the 13th, okay? There has been another work session in between, and trust me, we'll get to that. I just find myself way behind on covering Milton. It's not that I don't care. It's not that it's not entertaining. It's just there's always a lot of stuff to cover. Okay, so Curtis Krebs, CFO, is kind of going to explain all this.
Truist will not give us an investment account that will allow us to purchase treasury bonds. That's the highest quality you can get. They all have the exact same rate, no matter what the bank it is.
So they've got an account right now where they're earning a certain level of interest, and they can earn about, you know, a point more with the treasury bonds, and he wants to buy them, and they won't let him.
And that's what we're looking to do is obtain that higher interest rate. Because right now at Truist, we're in a money market account, and we're just not earning the money that we should be able to earn. And they're not allowing us to open up an investment account with them for whatever reason. I don't know the reason. They won't give it, but they won't do it.
So Truist refuses to let them open the investment account to make more money. Curtis Krebs, the CFO, is like, I don't know what the problem is. They won't tell me. They won't let us.
So instead of earning 3.15%, we could be earning a little over 4%.
And numerically, that's $360,000 a year?
$1,000 a day.
Oof. So the city of Milton has money, enough that if they bought the better investment, that's a very standard investment, they would be making an extra $1,000 a day. They're not, because Truist has been dragging their feet. And Mike Cusack, who never misses an opportunity to be obnoxious in the city council meetings, is going to, I mean, like, it's always some attack, you know, it's always some dereliction of duty. It's always people that particularly he doesn't like. And he's had, you know, long-standing challenges with anybody who represents the former administration. He, I think, my opinion, views them all as part of the problem, whether it's Ed Spears or, you know, whether it's Curtis Krebs or whether it's, you know, Joe Cook, the public works director, or Sandy Woodbury, who used to run grants and now I think does HR. I forget what her exact title is now. Anyway, all of these people that were part of the old administration that are all, like, really capable employees, for whatever reason, his first jump to is to accuse them of incompetence or hint at it some way or another. I personally think his goal is to run all of them off if he can, which would be yet another win for the city of Milton. But anyway, Mike Cusack is going to ask questions of Curtis Krebs in his uniquely Dale Carnegie style.
Question I have is, if this was an issue months ago, why didn't we do anything about this?
I asked him all the way back in February.
Pardon?
I have emails asking him all the way back in February.
By the way, there was an intervening exchange where he asked him, why didn't you do this before? And he's like, we've been asking them. And Mike just continues to press on this. Well, why didn't you come to us sooner?
So we waited till May to bring it to council? if we're losing $1,000 a day? Just asking.
It took them a long time to get back with me in order to say no.
I'm not just asking. Nobody's ever just asking. When they say they're just asking, they're lying. They're asking for a point. And the point he's making, trying to make, is you suck at your job, Curtis. And the point that I would make, and I think that Ed Spears would make, and that other observers would be like, no, he actually does a really good job at his job. But, you know, Mike, again, never one to miss an opportunity to offend somebody.
Okay, I've got a question here, actually, for you, Mr. Spears. you sent counsel an email on May 7th saying that the reason Truist does not want to no longer do this change in financial instruments was due to the city's lawsuit and political climate. So are you referring to the lawsuit that was filed against the mayor by the former city attorney and the former counsel? Is that the lawsuit you're referring to?
Yes.
And also the lawsuit after that lawsuit, this a second lawsuit that was filed? Is that part of the reason they gave you?
I'm not aware of a second lawsuit.
Because there was another.
The reason they just say is that they exercise their right not to open account for the city of Milton. That's it.
So the bank wouldn't allow Milton to open an account that would allow them to make about $1,000 more per day in interest because of the public records lawsuit that Mayor Lindsay continually refused to produce the records that were asked of her until finally the city council changed over in the election and they went ahead and dropped the lawsuit in connection with her giving up some of the public records that she previously was unwilling to give up. That was part of the reason we had this lawsuit and the cost. And then still has not given up some of the records that the judge, Junkin, did say were public records. And nevertheless, the city has abandoned that lawsuit. So it's going to be up to a private citizen like Howard Steele to come forward and sue for that, which there has been some lawsuit filed. I'm not exactly sure the status of it right now. But anyway, yeah, that's all of that. All of the drama, all of the days of our Miltonness of Milton has made it so that Truist doesn't want to. Doesn't want to take a risk on Milton. They're skittish about the environment. Now, by the way, I will tell you in advance, there has been development since this meeting, okay? And things have gotten better with Truist, but we'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens, that's Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you are traveling on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, we're starting to see some slowdowns there. About a 5 to 7 minute congestion, construction delay. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the final comment. Again, Mike Cusack just, you know, continuing to nag on this issue of why didn't bring it to us further earlier. Even though, as Ed and Curtis both explained, we were trying to work with this long partner of ours, Truist, and they just made it very difficult for us. What did you want us to do? Come out in the city council meeting and say, Truist is being really troubling, and you guys need to do something about it. Like, it's just, what does he really think would the answer be on this? Anyway, so one sort of final comment on that. And listen, I don't get to give Heather Lindsay compliments very often because I feel like a lot of times she does sort of the wrong thing. But I'm going to give her a compliment. The way she ended this conversation was exactly what her job as mayor and the person who runs these meetings is supposed to do. So well done, Mayor Lindsay.
My issue is a sense of urgency, okay? If it was going to pose a problem back in February, we should have acted more expediently to try to solve the problem.
We did act.
We're Truist.
We did act.
By the way, it might seem like Curtis is being a little starchy here. You know, it's because Mike Cusack keeps saying he's doing his job wrong. It might not sound like that to you, but that is what he's saying is you're the CFO. Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do this? He's pressing buttons, and Curtis Krebs, very responsible, capable guy, knows it, and he's irritated that he's getting grilled in public by Mike Cusack over nonsense.
90 days?
Can I just interrupt at this point? It sounds like y'all have all stated your points about the timing of this and how we got to where we are today. The question before the council is, do you want to approve this approach?
That's exactly right. Good job, Mayor Lindsay, for realizing that, you know, everybody's kind of said their piece. All right, let's decide whether we want to explore having a banking relationship with somebody else in order to get the kind of accounts that we want. Regents Bank was the other contender. Would they look at other banks outside of the city limits and or other investment opportunities? And the answer was yes. And that was a pretty easy thing to resolve, except for all of the silly drama. Now, there was several other things took place in that meeting. One that I don't have time to get to now, but I will get to next hour, is whether the city is going to allow miniature goats. I kid you not. It was a big controversy. It was actually a lot of fun. The city of Pensacola had this controversy a few years ago. Remember the pig thing with, what was her? Buttercup? Was that her name? I forget. I think that was right. It was a front page story in the PNJ, for goodness sakes, the picture of this pig. Anyway, she's some pig. Sorry for the Charlotte's Web reference. Anyway, they also had the issue about hiring the city man. Remember they were going to hire a new city attorney? It was either going to be Gray Robinson, the representative of which is John Adams. No coincidence, or no relation. But also Anthony Sabatini, this right-wing flamethrower from South Florida, Central Florida, who, you know, former representative and is now, you know, is a lawyer. And he had come and pitched them on, you know, his small law firm taking over. Everybody agreed, as I told you they would. Everybody wanted to do Gray Robinson. There was no controversy here whatsoever. Marilyn Farrow, Mike Cusack, Gavin Hawthorne, Robert Leake, everybody, Ashley Fretwell, everybody was on board with doing, you know, Gray Robinson, the local guy and the one they've been working with for several months.
I agree with Councilman Cusack as well, with what he said.
Councilman Fretwell?
I'm in agreement as well. Mr. Adams has always been very professional. I feel like the availability is a lot better than the other law firm.
Yeah, like I said, everybody was on board. Tom Powers was on board. Even Larry McKee was on board. Larry McKee does get the award for making the one comment that was interesting in this conversation about hiring a new city attorney. Remember, Alex Andrade used to be the city attorney. Well, he was the one who showed up at the meetings, but it was actually his firm, okay, that was the contracting entity. In any case, Gray Robinson, they're going to go with Gray Robinson. It's going to be a 7-0 vote. But along the way, Larry McKee says,
I'm inclined to agree also in a couple of key things. He is very laid back, which is nice, and non-political, which I do believe is a big deal in today's environment, that our attorney should be non-political and stay off social media as much as possible. So
it's an understandable comment, because Alex Andrade is very heavy on social media, okay? And that was one of the ongoing controversies is, you know, his presence on social media and, you know, was he acting as an employee? Was he acting as a contract agent? Was he acting as himself, as a state representative? All of which are potential roles for him. And, you know, how do you know which one it is? And it had been a point of contention with many of the members of the Pitchfork Posse who are constantly at war, even to this day, with Alex Andrade attacking him after he's no longer even in the meetings. It's actually kind of funny. Side note. Does a lawyer give up his First Amendment rights to be on social media because he's the city attorney? I mean, is that really what you're asking? No, I don't. Maybe John Adams doesn't care. You know, maybe he's not on social media. But is that something you can actually ask as a job requirement? I don't know. It's kind of a weird one to me anyway. But just it's there, and they did, and they hired him, and all good. Well, mostly all good, except for the very interesting conversation about whether we're going to allow miniature goats in the city of Milton. We'll talk about that at 7:10. 6:23 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.
Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10, when Brittany Hughes from Parks and Recreation will be on the show. She'll be discussing summer camps, where they're located, the cost, and how you can apply for a scholarship for your child to attend. She'll also cover deadlines to register, how to register, and will be available for you to call or text in with your questions during the show.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
June 15th is World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. Every year, millions of older adults suffer from abuse, neglect, or exploitation, often in silence. If you suspect elder abuse, report it. One call can make a difference. Contact your local area agency on aging at 1-800-963-5337 or visit elderaffairs.org. Let's protect our elders. See something, say something.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio Team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
That's my pie.
By 6:25 on News Radio 92.3. John, do you know this movie?
Oh, it's on the top of my head.
Well, let's just say that there is a bunch of pies being sold as a fundraiser at a university function, and at the bottom of the whipped cream, there was a picture of the girlfriend of the. It's from Revenge of the Nerds.
Okay. Right. You must have watched that recently.
It's been a while, but, you know, I've seen a lot of movies. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Starting to see those minor delays on 98 eastbound as you start to approach Windhaven Beach. About a 5 to 7 minute delay there. But other than that, 90 and Highway 29 actually look good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, court is back in session today as the Sean Diddy Combs trial resumes. The first witness the prosecution is expected to call to the stand today is one of his former employees, Capricorn Clark.
Somebody's name is Capricorn Clark?
Yeah, okay. Apparently,
I mean, that's a pretty cool name. I just
not
you know,
sure if that's like a legal name, maybe like a pseudonym kind of thing.
Well, this is Sagittarius Smith weighing in on the events of the day. Like, it's, I mean, I don't know. They're kind of kind of cool. Boring last name, really super interesting first name. Go on.
Absolutely. Southwest Airlines is saying goodbye to its popular two bags fly free perk on Wednesday. It's a change for Southwest CEO Bob Jordan, who said back in September that having no bag fees was a huge consumer advantage. Southwest is also set to end open seating the first half of 2026.
Did you see the, like, I don't know where it's at in terms of whether it's actually going to happen, but some story about proposing to eliminate seats on planes and just make it like a bus, you know, where you'd have, like, people would hold the rails or the little straps.
What? Oh, yes.
I think that's a safety issue. Do it. I really do.
Let's bring the true cattle call nature of plane transit to the reality. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Think how many more people you could cram in a plane, too.
Absolutely. And if you got enough people in there, then they are each other's safety cushions. And so
turbulence would be fun.
Well, like, I mean, you're just bumping and jostling. Everybody's fine.
Exactly.
You know? Go on, David.
Oh, goodness. Well, market's getting a boost this morning after President Trump has put a pause on new EU tariffs. The President Trump said he is delaying the planned 50% tariff on the European Union until July 9th. Investors are reacting fast as Dow futures are up almost 540 points.
He puts the tariffs on, he takes the tariffs off, he puts the tariffs on, and he shakes them all about. You do the Trumpy pokey and you turn tariffs around. That's what it's all about.
Okay, you've Yeehaw! Been working on that for a while,
no,
haven't you?
Mostly improv. And in the end, where do we land? I'll tell you in 3 years. All right, David, thanks so much for the nobody knows. Nobody knows where we're going to end. This is a super weird story. A lot of times I'll go and look on, like, the Google News, just like the front page they have, and it's always, you know, the top couple of big stories of the day, and then there's a couple of minor headlines. And somewhere in between, there was a story yesterday that caught my attention. It said, Florida proposes law to eliminate capital gains tax on Bitcoin. And I was like, oh, I haven't seen that anywhere. And then I looked at, but I had a question. And because I know the political landscape in Florida pretty well, I was confused. And so I went to the story to see, like, what are you talking about? So I go to the story, and the more I read, the less I knew, because two big questions. Number one, John, you're an accountant person, okay? Florida is famous for not having what kind of tax?
State.
Income tax?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A capital gains is a kind of?
It's a tax.
It's an income tax, mm-hmm. right? Do we have a capital gains tax in Florida? We don't.
Yeah, no, I think that's federal.
So proposing to eliminate a non-existent tax is kind of a weird story. Also, where are we at in our legislative season right now? We are, it's not ended, but they're not filing new bills. There's nothing happening in Tallahassee right now except, you know, hand-wringing over we don't have a budget, and they have to do that, and waiting for the governor to sign the bills that we keep transmitting to him. There's no new bills being filed. So I read this story. One was from some website called floridareporter.com, and there was another one at ccn.com. And I don't want to say these are fake sites, but they seem like Bitcoin investor promo hype sites or maybe something like that. And it was presented as just straight news, which has no basis in fact, no bill numbers, no representatives quoted, nothing. Just a weird, false story.
Fox News, I'm Dave Anthony. Russia's taken four more border villages in Ukraine as the Wall Street Journal reports President Trump's considering more sanctions.
President Trump grows increasingly frustrated with Russia, expressing doubts that President Putin wants to end the war. On Capitol Hill, pressure is growing for President Trump to take tougher action against Russia, especially after it launched its largest drone and missile attack against Ukraine over the weekend.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Three more escaped prisoners captured in Louisiana and Texas.
All three of those inmates were recaptured well outside of New Orleans yesterday. Police say Lenten Van Buren was found in Baton Rouge sitting on a bench near a department store after someone called in an anonymous tip. The other two, Jermaine Donald and Leo Tate, were captured in Walker County, Texas, more than 300 miles from the jail they escaped from.
That's Fox's Todd Pyro. So the manhunt is down for two escaped prisoners out of the 10 who broke out a week and a half ago. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is a warm morning. We've got 79 degrees right now with partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Police in Fairhope are investigating a shooting that left a teenage girl with a bullet wound to the neck. This happened in the town's Rock Creek neighborhood on Saturday.
I lived my whole life. I lived here 20 years. Went up to college and I came back for the summer and I've never had something like this happen here. So, again, it was the first time for anything. A lot of prayers went out to that family. Hope she's doing all right and hope their entire family's doing all right.
That is Ethan Kellerman, who lives nearby, and he says he heard the gunshot, figured it was nothing at the time. It happened Saturday. He said he learned about the shooting the next morning. The victim was identified by friends as a local high school girl. A GoFundMe has been set up for her, which described the shooting as being a tragic firearm discharge accident. Police say an investigation and interviews are currently ongoing. A big change could be coming to the University of West Florida today. The Board of Trustees meeting to accept the resignation of President Dr. Martha Saunders. Name an interim president. State Education Commissioner Manny Diaz Jr. said he's open to being the interim leader.
That's a decision for the board to make. And if they were to call, I'd obviously be willing to have a conversation with them about that. But that's up to the Board of Trustees of the University of West Florida.
And Diaz is listed on the agenda as to be appointed as the interim president. Former UW president Dr. Judith Bentz says she believes he'll eventually also be named the permanent president of the university. She says there will probably be a lot of changes coming soon. A local project could be delayed again. News Radio's Chris Bryan reporting that Eglin is slowing down some processes.
Santa Rosa taxpayers could be facing financial impacts brought on by Eglin's delay in doing repair work. This is over at the Holly landfill. The situation is this. The county needs approval for HDR engineering to be allowed to get onto the site and then remediate the final cover system to bring the closure into compliance with DEP regulations. Eglin continues to slow the process down. Now, that project was planned to be completed by January 31st. Now, it will not be finalized until December 31st. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. 11 people were hurt after a boat explosion in Broward County. This happened yesterday afternoon in Fort Lauderdale. Fire Rescue says the boat exploded while it was anchored to a sandbar in the Intracoastal Waterway. 13 people were on board at the time. 9 adults and 2 children were thrown overboard. 10 of them were taken to a burn unit at a hospital in Miami. 8 adults are reportedly in good condition. The 2 children are in fair condition. Right now, there's no official word on what caused the explosion. One victim says they think it was a gas leak. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Even 98, Highway 90, Highway 29. Not seeing any delays this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We do have a chance of rain today. 40% chance of a pop-up shower or thunderstorm. High near 85 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. For Wednesday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. High near 84. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping a 40% chance of rain on that Thursday with a high near 80 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it is 79 degrees. Partly cloudy skies, our next news at 7, and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, Southwest Airlines says it's ending its 2 bags fly free on Wednesday. Southwest says the move was made in order to drive revenue growth. It also marks a change in plans for Southwest CEO Bob Jordan, who made a comment back in September that no bag fees were a huge consumer advantage for the company. Southwest is also looking to end its open seating policy in the first half of next year. And amid uncertainty over tariffs, there are some unconfirmed reports today that officials with Mitsubishi have been in talks with fellow Japanese automaker Nissan about possibly jointly producing vehicles at Nissan's assembly plant in Mississippi. The spokesperson for Nissan North America spoke on Friday and said that Nissan didn't rule out the plan so far, but that no official decisions have been made. And on Wall Street, stock futures continue to tick a bit higher this morning after President Trump announced over the weekend that he would be delaying tariffs on the European Union. And that is Your Money Now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Celebrating 15 years of excellence, Nancy's Catering and Events has been feeding Pensacola's most unforgettable occasions since 2010. Led by award-winning executive chef Gus Silivos, Nancy's team brings top culinary creations and guest experiences to the Gulf Coast area. From lavish weddings and galas to seaside crab boils and garden parties, Nancy's has you covered. For more information and to see the array of menus and services, visit nancyscateringandevents.com. Nancy's Catering and Events, where your perfect event begins.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This Tuesday, it's a brother and sister country music duo and Pensacola's very own Pearl and Rafe. Pearl brings the glitter, Rafe brings the grit, and together they bring the party wherever they go. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7 with Pearl and Rafe. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Efforts to protect our kids from illicit vape products. There are a lot of products, many of them coming in from China and other areas overseas, products that are not regulated by the federal government, products that are designed to appeal to kids, products that are filled with chemicals, many of which we do not know what they are. And young kids are attracted to this. Unlike cigarettes, these things can be more easily concealed, more easily taken into the school place, and used throughout the day.
Yeah, don't take them into the school place. James Uthmeyer, who is the Attorney General of the state of Florida, came to town on Friday and did a sort of a press conference. He did take questions right at the end, along with Manny Diaz. Of course, as you've heard us talking about quite a bit, Manny Diaz, who is the current Secretary of Education, but is also on the agenda to become the next interim president of University of West Florida today. If they approve him, I don't know why the provost is not the primary leader, Jeremy Kuhl. That would be the most natural choice. But then again, it's because we all believe that this is part of the grand takeover plan by Governor DeSantis to install a loyalist on the board and then to install a loyalist in the presidency. And then whatever changes might come. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I like Manny Diaz. I have often, you know, thought he did very good things. He seems like a good guy. The one thing that raises my red flag with him is, you know, he's being foisted upon us. And apparently in conjunction with Governor DeSantis's agenda to do what at UWF is not particularly clear, since by all the metrics they've been doing so well. We've talked about this many times. Anyway, so he was here in town ostensibly to talk about, I don't know, vaping and pornographic books and transgender bathrooms or something. And, you know, then he gets questions about the Hope Florida Foundation scandal, and we'll get to that in a second. But I wanted to give him his due. If he's, I don't know why he did this press conference. It seemed like pretty light fare to me, unless it's just, hey, let's try to be seen in a positive light because we got all this negative stuff swirling about me. You know, change the narrative, change the topic so that you can get positive press.
These devices, they create them to be appealing. Here, this looks like a little highlighter, some sort of marker to, you know, use in school. But no, at the bottom, it's an area to plug in your vape. Again, this product, this isn't going to fly in Florida. Here you've got something, it's designed to look like a video game with a screen and buttons. You can play your little game and then you can take a puff here. This can't happen. Not in Florida, not in our state, not in our schools.
It reminds me of the old handheld video games, like at the football game, the green one or the white one where you know, and it's like, all right, you know, puff, puff, pass, I guess. It's kind of, or pass, pass, puff. I don't know. Either way. They've got a $79 million settlement with Juul. That's a good thing. Manny Diaz, as a former, principal? I forget what his exact role was in schools, but says that he used to, you know, confiscate these kinds of things all the time when it was marijuana itself, not and real homemade ones.
I think going back to my days as being a school administrator, walking the halls, back in those days where you were looking out for these kind of devices that were home-created, right? I could tell you that I confiscated more than one of these. They were actual highlighters that they had hollowed out, right? And they created a pipe, and it was for smoking marijuana, right? This is before the advance of the vapes. But
I mean, anybody who says that stoners aren't clever, they'll find ways, right? It's a pressing issue of sorts because he says 30% of kids who vape then wind up smoking within 6 months. And even though it is a stair step off of cigarettes, it is also a stair step on to cigarettes, and that's a good point. You also had some questions about, you know, pornographic books in the libraries. Again, it was a little bit of a wide-ranging, I don't know why we're having this press conference, but we need to have it.
From the beginning, we told superintendents, we told districts, use common sense. I mean, an educator should know, should be clear-eyed as to what materials definitely don't belong in a school. And I think in this example of Hillsborough,
That should have happened. I sent a letter that was followed immediately by the Attorney General to the district, and they immediately decided to take action. But why does it take this? Why do we have to go through this process to get people in education to understand that there are materials that everybody should agree do not belong in front of kids?
Yeah, I mean, and that's a fair question, right? Why do we have to go through the process? Why can't we just trust them to do the right thing on their own? Because so many times they've not. I told you it was also, they talked about transgender bathrooms a little bit. Again, kind of the more different conservative red meat talking points that came up, the less I thought this was really about any of them and more about trying to generate some positive press for Manny Diaz the Friday before the Tuesday meeting in which he's going to be promoted as, or, you know, considered as the interim president for UWF, and James Uthmeyer, who has his own issues surrounding the Hope Florida scandal. But, you know, fine, okay? I mean, it's not that I disagree on any of these particular issues.
We got a complaint last week about a gym in Palm Beach that was allowing men to go into women's locker rooms, and we, you know, took action right away. We put them on notice that we will bring legal action if you continue this practice, and thankfully they very quickly modified the policy, and we've been in person to confirm that.
All right, so good. I mean, again, you know, all sort of good news notes. And then we got to the very end, you know, we're like 18 minutes into a 20-minute event, and Jim Little asks his question. Jim Little of the PNJ. We'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are actually looking good. If you are on, forgot the name of this. If you're on Burgess Road right around Palafox at that light, you're going to notice in all directions it is pretty well backed up there. But other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to James Uthmeyer, the Attorney General of the State of Florida, formerly Chief of Staff for Governor DeSantis, and the guy who's been kind of one of the key names mentioned in connection with the Hope Florida Foundation, Medicaid, Centene, settlement, ACA money, the $10 million. Okay, so Jim Little from the PNJ asks a two-barreler. He asks one for Uthmeyer and asks one of Manny Diaz.
Do you have any response to the news about the Hope Florida transfers being under investigation by the state attorney's office? And for Commissioner Diaz, there's speculation out there that you may be appointed interim president of the University of West Florida. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, I'll start. I'll mention the Hope Florida thing. You know, it's clear there's some political attacks going on.
First step, deflect. First step, pretend there's something going on that it's all political and it's not about the substance of any of it. For me, I couldn't care less that it was James Uthmeyer. I don't typically find reason to get up in the morning and attack the former chief of staff of the governor or the attorney general. But I'll tell you what, the more they open their mouths, the less I'd believe them. It's really same for the governor on this subject. It's really weird. Who I am a fan, you know, but on this subject. So he goes on and I'm going to play him at length here.
I was involved on a board of a C4 issue committee that was opposing Amendment 3 that was being proposed for the ballot last cycle. If people don't remember, this was the recreational marijuana amendment. As written, it would have allowed virtually unrestricted marijuana in public places, theme parks, restaurants, entertainment venues, you name it, anywhere, and the amendment would have allowed up to 150 joints to be on somebody's person. It is completely proper, and the courts have said that public officials certainly have a right, maybe even a duty, to take action in those fights to protect our state, to protect our laws from harmful amendments like that.
Okay, true. Not the point. None of that is the point. The point is not over whether the amendment was a good one or whether a public official should fight bad amendments. The point was whether the $10 million that got funneled through Hope Florida Foundation to these two entities and eventually wound up in the pack you were in charge of, whether that was lawful. And why didn't you report that to the legislature? That's the question. That's the only question that matters, not the prudence of this amendment.
I think we've built something very special in the state of Florida over the last 6 years. That fight was important to me, important to the state. I think if that amendment had passed, we would have gone the direction of Colorado and California and other states, many jurisdictions where you see two or threefold the number of ER visits for young kids. Kids being exposed to candies, gummies, not to mention the smell and the harm to tourism. You go to Times Square in New York and you walk around and it's disgusting. It is no longer a place people want to visit bars and restaurateurs are moving out.
I couldn't agree more. I walk around right now in Florida when it's not even openly legal for everybody. It's just medical. And you can tell who's smoking weed. It's yeah, it comes from cars where people are getting high in their cars or houses. I mean, it's I don't want that more broadly. I totally agree with him. But that is not the point. That is not the point. This has nothing to do with blowing smoke, sir. I picked it on purpose. over the appropriateness or inappropriateness of the amendment. The question is about the legality of the settlement, the $10 million, the distribution, how it wound up going from Medicaid money into being PAC support money.
So I know the big marijuana industry, they put in over $150 million. They're not very happy about this. I know there's some, you know, Democrat officials and a legislator in this area that...
That's Alex Andrade he's talking about without naming him. You know, he's in league with the Democrats.
Are in bed with that group, and so they want to bring this fight. But at the end of the day, we did the right thing. Everything we did was lawful. We won. I'm proud we won. And I'm glad that we have kept Florida safe, free, and, you know, open for business in a healthy manner. And at the end of the day, we protected our kids. And to me, as state leaders... That is our ultimate duty.
Stop asking questions. We protected kids. You're a lawyer. You're the attorney general. Answer the question of the money transfer. Why was that legal? Why was it okay for this to be $10 million sliced off from a Medicaid? So those are the only issues that matter in the case. And the, again, you know, when lawyers won't answer the question, it makes me believe they know they don't have a good answer to the question. Because just like DeSantis knows, just like Uthmeyer knows, the fact that they continue to not ask the question and instead bluster and bloviate and say all this irrelevant stuff and say you're attacking my wife, Casey DeSantis, like that's not the story, sir, at all. So kudos to Tanner Stewart, follows up on Jim Little's question, WEAR.
Can you help us understand the path of that Centene settlement, the $57 million and then... The $10 million and
get him, Tanner.
The $5 million. Can you just help us understand from your standpoint what's going on here and why there's confusion about two $5 million settlements going into Hope, Florida, and why Hope, Florida has anything to do with the Centene settlement, if you could.
So my
and by the way, it's the Hope, Florida Foundation, not Hope, Florida. They're two different things, but it's fine. The question is exactly the right question.
So my involvement was with an outside C4 committee. Those committees can work with other C3s and C4 committees, nonprofits. I think the press and others like to twist the difference between a candidate committee and an issue committee. This wasn't for some political candidate.
Not the issue.
It was for a policy that the state leaders said is wrong. So I don't control the decisions of other nonprofits. I was on the board of the nonprofit that was focused on exclusively defeating Amendment 3 unrestricted marijuana. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Not the question. Still not the question, but okay. And then we had a brief, you know, and again, kudos to Tanner Stewart for intervening at the end and saying, hey, can you answer Jim's question about Manny Diaz? You know, because you didn't answer that question. So good for this. This is Manny Diaz's opportunity to, I don't know, be forthcoming with the Pensacola audience. This was, again, this was in Pensacola on Friday.
Mr. Diaz, would you mind answering Jim's question? There's a lot of speculation in the community about the UWF decision.
Well, what I'll tell you is the board is clearly meeting. That's a decision for the board to make. And if they were to call, I'd obviously be willing to have a conversation with them about that. But that's up to the board of trustees of the University of West Florida.
It's the right answer. But if they were to call, I mean, I don't know. I mean, sure, I guess. I don't know. Nobody talked to me about it. It's just, I'm a fan of Manny Diaz, but I don't trust any of these answers. How does his name wind up being on the agenda for today as the interim president candidate? You know, as Judy Bentz was talking to Channel 3, yesterday? Anyway, and made the point, like, there's no sunshine restrictions on the governor or anybody in the governor's office talking to Manny. Of course, he's within the administration right now. Or talking to the Board of Trustees members. They can talk to all of them. They can tell them exactly what to do. And it looks like they're being told what to do, because the natural interim president would be the provost, right? Or maybe, I mean, bring back Judy Bentz as the interim. No, instead we're going to go for the Secretary of Education? To what? Which, again, I like him, but, you know, I have questions. So 6:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide what make, what model, what features, what trim level, what color, how many miles, what are you willing to pay, hey, get a sense of the landscape. Go to Frontier Motors and look around. And go ahead and say to them, you know, Andrew McKay sent me. You know, it's okay. And then say, and they're like, all right, cool. And then you can say, here's what I'm kind of looking at. Here's what my budget is. Here's where my current car is, as I'm thinking about. And do you have any suggestions? You know, what do people like? What don't they like? What sells well? What doesn't sell well? What kind of, I don't know, repairs are people having to make on cars that they didn't expect? Now, I know, you know, Frontier is going to warranty their cars to 10 years or 100,000 miles, so it's not as much of a concern for you maybe. But still, you know, these are things you want to know. Does it hold its value? I mean, ask, and they'll give you, you know, and maybe they'll say, you know, it sounds like the situation that you're trying to solve for. Maybe have you considered an SUV? Maybe have you considered a truck? Maybe have you considered a minivan? You know, like, if you haven't. And try a couple of things. Try five or six. You're in one place with a lot of different cars. You can try as much as you like. And that's one of the advantages at Frontiers. You don't have to go driving around town and meeting 18 different people and giving them your license and your life story and debriefing after the test drive and all the stuff. Just one person, you know, just hang out, drive, do your thing. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still no rolling accident-free right now, but if you're on I-10 eastbound, right around the Highway 29 exit, we're starting to see some delays there as you get past the Highway 29 exit approaching I-110. So just be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, this is Jeff Wayne, General Sales Manager of ADX Communications. Our team of expert marketing consultants, backed by over 200 years of combined experience, has helped hundreds of local businesses increase their market share. With four powerful radio stations, we can create a customized marketing plan tailored to your needs. And if digital advertising is part of your strategy, we've got you covered. ADX Digital offers cutting-edge solutions and exclusive products and strategies that gives your business an edge. Let's make 2025 a year of success for your business, whether it's on the market leader, Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, the area's top news talk station, the go-to for sports fans, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, Pensacola Playlist 94.5 for reaching women and lifestyle audiences, or ADX Digital, targeted digital strategies that drive results. One call, one team, endless possibilities. Call me, Jeff Wayne, at 850-262-6000.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
May is Older Americans Month. Join Dawn and a patient from Ashner Navant Health 65 Plus on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30. They'll be highlighting aging trends, answering questions and texts, and discuss how Ashner Navant Health 65 Plus can help you, who they are, and where they're located on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Omaha.
always said dying was a part of life. I sure wish it was.
Oh, man, that part of that movie. Oh, it's good. It's good. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline for us. David?
Well, I sure am, and good morning, gentlemen. Hold on. I lost my my page here.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll hear news from you in just a minute right after Fox.
Hey,
no big deal.
That's right. We'll this thing isn't responding.
We'll also be talking about the city of Milton. Proposed allowance of miniature goats in your yard in the city of Milton. We'll talk about that coming up next.